All right. Good morning again. Turn in your Bible to Psalms. Psalm chapter 1. It's pretty much like in the middle of the Bible if you have a Bible with you this morning. If you want to get there on your phone or computer, tablet, whatever, we just would love for you to like be looking at the Word of God as we study it this morning, verse by verse together. So what are we doing? We're doing Psalm 1 this morning. Next week, we're starting a series on prayer called Pray Like Jesus. We're going to go verse by verse through Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, looking at some of the teaching on prayer there. And then after that, we're doing a book study. It's going to either be 2 Timothy or Colossians. We're praying through that now. So this morning, Psalm chapter 1. This is a psalm, so there are 150 psalms in the book of the Psalms. We read Psalm 150 just a moment ago in the set of songs, and that's very fitting because a psalm is a Hebrew poem that's meant to be set to music, and so we have these great poems, these great songs, these sort of, I guess you could say it's like a It's just a place in Scripture for you to go with your heart and really grow in your relationship with the Lord. People of all ages love the Psalms because they really take you through the heights and depths and all the full range of emotions of life. And so there are at least 73 Psalms that were penned by King David, and we just finished studying 1 and 2 Samuel looking at King David. And so, you know, that's helpful too. Psalm 1 is where we are today. And why might that be important to observe? Well, that's the first one. I mean, it's the gateway to the whole book of Psalms. It's like the introduction to a good book. It's like telling us, like, this is what you got to do with the rest of this. And that's exactly what we find in this psalm. And the message today is titled, Two Types of People. And I thought of some other titles. Pursuit of Happiness would be very fitting. Seven Habits of Highly Happy People would be one. Your Blessed Life Now, like considering that for like 5 minutes. You know, but I think Two Types of People is great because this psalm really, really puts two types of people in front of us and calls for us to choose, to make a decision. And that's so relevant, like, for us right now, because I just feel like we are constantly given these polarizing categories, and we are asked to choose what type of person do you want to be. You know what I'm saying? It's like every day, constantly. And like, it's coming at us so much right now. Like, are you a stander or a kneeler? Are you a conservative or are you like a progressive? Are you a mask person or a non-mask person? But you know what? Like that's currently like our season we're in. But I didn't even need the help of this season. Like before then, I struggled with this constantly. Like I get up in the morning, I like look in my closet. I'm like, what type of person do I want to be today? And I get all stressed out. I'm like, do I want to communicate this? Do I want to communicate this? I mean, I sit there and I think about what I'm going to post on social media. And you guys probably should pray for me about this. And I'm just like deleting things, then writing things, then deleting it again, then writing. I'm like, what type of person do I want to be? It can drive you crazy. And it's constant. We're always being bombarded to define ourselves. And so I think what I want us to see is in this passage of Scripture, we see how God puts before us two types of people. And we see how little he is probably concerned with those sort of lower level decisions that we're making about what type of person we want people to think we are. And we see what he's concerned about is that we choose to be the type of person in Psalm 1 that he upholds and says, this is the blessed life. So I want to read to you the passage, pray, and we're going to dive in 3 points this morning, 2 influences, 2 pictures, and 2 futures. Let's read it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So yeah, Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just meeting us in this place, having a word for us today to be encouraged, to be challenged by. I pray for everyone that is studying Psalm 1 this morning together. I pray that we would be doers and not just hearers of your word. I pray that we would make a decision about the type of person that we want to be, or recommit ourselves to being the type of person that you desire us to be, Lord. You've called us to live an abundant life, to be filled with the Spirit, to bear fruit. So help us to do that. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Two types of people. It kind of feels polarizing just with the title, right? Two types of people. Come on, Matt. So black and white. Well, it's here in the scripture. So don't get mad at me. Two influences is our first point. Ungodly or God's word from verses 1-2. All right. So verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on the law he meditates day and night. And so really what we see here is it starts off with this picture of two influences in life. These two types of people have two types of influences. And they are sort of stated, one is sort of negatively, like it's a person who does not do these things, and then positively, here is what they do. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel. Now, we should just look at this word blessed. What's the first word of the book of Psalms? First word of the whole book of Psalms is the word blessed. It's actually the same word in the New Testament when Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking about the Beatitudes, and he's like, blessed are the poor in spirit, you know, for they shall, you know, receive the kingdom. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake. All of that, that's there. Blessed. It's the same word. So it's not this idea, this word, blessed, is not transactional blessing. It's not like put two quarters in and you will get blessed with Skittles out of the vending machine. That's not the idea here. That's transactional blessing. This is more like commit yourself to this way of life and you will be sort of in a sort of thriving state of being. That's what it's talking about. So blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. It's interesting. It says, not in the counsel of the wicked. In 1 Kings 12, we see David's descendants, Rehoboam and Jeroboam, they actually divide the kingdom after Solomon, which was after David. But one of the reasons why the kingdom was divided was because Rehoboam took counsel from the wrong people. And it is so important that we consider where we're getting our counsel. Where we're primarily leaning into for counsel. And we would be, I mean, everybody these days is saying like, there's no unbiased news, right? Like all news channels have an agenda. But I think what we need to see and remember and realize is that there's really no unbiased anything. Everything that we're sort of like exposing ourselves to is seeking to evangelize us with a worldview. And you know, it's not a question of does that have a worldview. It's just, is it the right worldview? And so we should be very careful and vigilant as we consider our influences. And I think what we see here is two kinds of people, two kinds of influences, the ungodly or God's word. And so he even says, you know, walk, sit, or stand. And I think that's important to just note real quickly. One scholar, I was reading up on this, trying to kind of get some expert opinions, and one scholar said, William Van Gameren, he said, on this walk, sit, stand thing, he said, these three descriptions, they do not represent like three kinds of activities. It's not an allegory, in other words. It's also not like a progression from like walking to sitting to standing. It's like, watch it, you're just walking now, you're sitting, you're standing. It's not supposed to be like that. He says it's Hebrew poetry. It's a psalm. It's just synonymous parallelism. He's just saying it's total. He's just pointing out the profound totality of being influenced. And I think as we consider that, we should also consider the converse of that. As followers of Christ, we are to be totally committed to Christ. The gospel is to transform us in how we walk, in how we sit, in how we stand, in our totality of who we are. We're to follow Jesus. That's the idea. So, two kinds of influences. He says, this man, he doesn't walk in the council, sit, stand, whatever. He says, he delights in the law of the Lord. Do you see that? The law here for David, like David's Bible would have been the first five books of the Old Testament, called the Pentateuch, you know, like Pentagon, like five books. It would be the Torah, the instruction. And so David, that's what he means. He's like, I delight in the law of the Lord. For us as New Testament Christians, we understand that all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for building up, and that the scriptures and even the Old Testament make us wise to salvation. And so when we read delight in the law of the Lord, we think delight in God's word. And he says he meditates on it day and night. Do you see that? He meditates on it day and night. The word here for meditate in Hebrew is an onomatopoeia. Do you know what that is? I'll give you an example of an onomatopoeia. The word sizzling, all right? Like the word sounds like the activity. Does that make sense? Nod your head if you're with me. You got it? Onomatopoeia. All right. So the Hebrew word for meditate in Psalm 1 is an onomatopoeia. If you said it, I'm not going to, but it sounds like a mumbling, a murmuring, a groaning. And the idea is that the person who delights in the law of the Lord is constantly sort of mumbling and processing and chewing it and murmuring about it. And it's like in them throughout the day. That's the picture. And so you might think of having a quiet time here, right? Like you might think as a Christian of having a set apart time when you study the Bible, say in the morning, and you pray and you do that. And that's good. But certainly this is envisioning more than that now, not less than that, right? Amen? Not less than that. We got to have that time when the word gets in us, but the word is to stay in us, that we're to be meditating, processing, mumbling, thinking, working it through throughout the day. That's this person that he's describing in Psalm 1. Preoccupied with the great truths of God's word, with the good news of Jesus Christ. When I was a kid and I got a sore throat, I would go for a Luden's cherry cough drop. Has anyone ever had one of those before? Okay, like those things are so good. I know they're probably not real cough drops. They're like basically candy. And personally, I just loved them. And I would often feel a sore throat and the need for a Luden's cherry cough drop. And the thing is that, you know, you tell your mom, like, oh, I'm feeling a little sore throat this morning. You think we could get the cough drops out? That'd probably be good. And, you know, you get them, and you're like, I think I should probably take the little They kind of came in like a canister thing. I think I should probably take that with me to school today. Don't you think that's probably a good idea, just in case the sore throat sticks with me? And so all throughout the day, I'm just enjoying these lozenges, right? Just working through it, enjoying it. And that is really the picture of meditating day and night on God's word. You know, there has to be a time that's set apart where you're getting into the word, but there is the whole day for the word to continue to be working through and into your heart and your mind. And that's the picture and the type of person that is blessed according to Psalm 1. We saw in Jesus' life and ministry in Mark chapter 1, 35, it says, rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place and prayed. You know, it's interesting. So we're in this pandemic. And I remember at the beginning seeing everybody talking about like, hey, you know, this is terrible, but the good side of it is that we're going to like spend more time with our family and like we're going to spend all this time reading the Bible and doing these things. I'm going to learn several foreign languages. People were like talking like that at the beginning. And I don't hear it anymore. Do you guys, am I missing this or does that like go away? Like that's what we thought. And maybe that has been true for you, but actually there's a survey, the annual State of the Bible survey that they've been doing for 10 years, the American Bible Society, and they found that between January and June of this year, what they call scripture-engaged people dropped from 28% to 22%. And you say, well, that's not a big drop. That means nothing to me. But here's what it means. It means 13 million professing Christians have stopped reading their Bible during the pandemic. That's what it means. The trends are, you know, the number of people who read several times per week has gone from 12% to 9%. That's only a helpful number to our minds if you just understand that's the lowest it's ever been since they've been doing the survey. During the pandemic, didn't go like we thought maybe. It's been hard. Actually, one other trend is that a trend from this particular survey is that normally every year when it comes to people really reading God's word daily, women slightly lead men. And in this last survey, the first time ever, the men, even though everyone's lower, the men are ahead of the women. And I actually think that's because of how stressful home life has been, and this time in our lives has been, uniquely perhaps on women. So, it's been hard. And I don't think I need to tell you that. Maybe you've been struggling to be this type of Psalm 1 blessed person. But it really does call for us to make a decision, doesn't it? I mean, that's why it's here. Like, why does Psalm 1 present this contrast to us, if not to ask and challenge us to choose what we want our life to be like? I mean, if you've ever, we're talking about influences here, and like if you've ever been maybe listening to music and then someone in the room right next to you turns on their speaker and it's really loud, how is that for you? That's not peaceful. That's not something where you have these two loud voices going. That's not something where you're like, I can get in with this. I'll just wait till that sort of works itself out. I'll just wait till circumstances are great for me to address that. No, like you take decisive action because that's not good. Similarly, as God's people, we must be decisive about what has the volume turned up and what has the volume turned a little bit lower in our lives, what influences us. So, two influences, ungodly or God's word. And now let's look at two pictures. Again, two types of people. Looking at Psalm 1, God is just casting some vision for our lives from this psalm. And here is the picture, two pictures, fruitful or weightless chaff, all right? He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Two pictures. Now, you see right here at the beginning of verse 3, it says, he is like. Do you see that? If you're like me, like I can like lose my attention span just like from one verse to the next. Like I need like an index card to go like this under the lines. So I'm just saying like I lose focus. So I want to remind you when it says he is like, it's talking about in verses 1 through 2, the man who meditates on the word day and night. All right, that's who it's referring to. So it's saying that man or woman is like a tree planted. A tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither. Can you picture this tree? What a beautiful picture. And this is a kind of person that God wants us to be. Intentionally planted. This is a verb, planted. Beside the irrigation that brings strength, the means of grace that God has designed to strengthen followers of Christ. Are you planted? Do you desire to be? Then be the man or woman who meditates on God's word, because that's who does. Yielding fruit in season. Seeing fruit. Not just fruit in the sense of, oh, you know, I'm discipling this person. That's my fruit. But more like the fruit of the Spirit, your character, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, a fruitful life. You're growing. You're fruitful. You are impacting others. You're fruitful. Do you bear fruit? Do you desire to? You say, yes, but how? How do you do that? Friends, fortunately, Psalm 1 is not that complex in its structure. The way you do it is you jump back up to verses 1 through 2 and you realize it's the man or woman who meditates on the word of God that is this tree. So be that type of person. It does not wither. It's durable. Do you desire to be durable? Then be a man or woman who meditates on the word of God. It says he prospers. You know, I just want to say, like, God is calling us to live our life a certain kind of way on the basis of a promise that we would prosper. It is okay to want to, in the right kind of way, prosper under God's grace. In your family, even in your endeavors and in your business and in what you're doing in your life, as long as you're kind of keeping that in the right way, it's okay to desire that and to pursue that and to say, God, I want you to bless me and prosper me. He is offering that. This is the same word that's actually used for Joseph in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 39, like Joseph keeps getting put down. He's dropped into a pit. Because his brothers are jealous of him. He is then put in a dungeon because they don't want him, you know, in Potiphar's house anymore. And the point is that he's always being put down, but he can never be kept down because he keeps prospering. He keeps coming up. He keeps rising up out of how he's been put down. It's like when you have a fully inflated beach ball and you're trying to like hold it down at the bottom of the pool. It's so difficult because God's blessing is on that person's life. You say, how do you get like that? How do you have a life like that? You meditate on God's word. You abide in Christ. You're a person of the word. That's what this psalm is telling us. That's the picture. It talks here in verse 4, the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. What is that? Well, chaff refers to the shell coverings of grain seeds And so after the covering is broken off, the lightness of the chaff is separated from the heaviness of the seeds. And a person could take like a basket or a blanket and they could throw all of it up in the air, and the wind comes and blows the light chaff out of the way, and what lands is just the seeds. So the picture is chaff is weightless, pointless, useless. And it blows away, but not the person who is abiding in, meditating on God's word. One of the things about one of the restaurants here in America is this restaurant called Five Guys. And I'm not like a huge fan, but I can say that one of the things that I really like about Five Guys is that they give you these peanuts when you go there. So if you don't have a peanut allergy, you can just walk in and you can just grab peanuts and put them in this little basket, and you can just sort of have peanuts while you wait for your food. The most amazing thing about it, it's the kind that you like take the peanut out of the shell and they say, just leave it there. I think that's what they say. I mean, if not, I've been breaking the rules forever, but I think they prefer that you not throw it away. Like, you are allowed to just leave it there. You can actually just brush it off your table onto the floor, and it's cool. And it's the best thing about this restaurant. And so you can, and I think they just don't want you to throw it away. They're like, we'd rather handle that, sir. And so it's just great. But I think that's kind of like a picture like of the chaff. And so like the picture here of Psalms 1, 3 through 4 is like, do you want to be the peanut shells on the floor at Five Guys, or do you want to be like a redwood tree in California? Like, choose. That's what it's saying. Like, rootless, weightless, and useless, or fruitful. That's what kind of what it's saying. And this is a picture, and we are people who pursue pictures. Like, that is so true. Like, think about it. It's a vision. And we are to kind of close our eyes and think about, where do we want to be? Where do we want to go? You know, what are you looking at? That's where you're going. And you think about it, like, advertisers know this. Commercials know this. You think about it, like Apple, they're not trying to get you to buy an iPhone. I mean, they are, but they're actually showing you a picture of a life with their iPhone. It's like, don't you want an iPhone? Look at me. Like, I'm sitting at the top of the Alps. Look at me. Don't you want an iPhone? Look at me. I'm like, I've got this awesome minimalist house and everything's perfect in my life. Don't you want an iPhone? No, it's like, don't you want this life? If you have an iPhone, you'll have it. It's the picture that sells. It's the vision of what your life could be like. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I have an iPhone right here. But I'm just saying, the point is, we are people who pursue pictures. And Psalm 1 is painting a picture for us of a kind of person, a tree planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in season, not withering. Jesus painted pictures. He said in Matthew 7, 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fail because it had been founded on the rock. It's a picture. And so we see in Psalm 1 two pictures, fruitful or weightless chaff. We're looking at two types of people, two influences, two pictures, and now lastly, two futures from verses 5 through 6. Verse 5, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Two futures. It's interesting. It says, the wicked will not stand in judgment. One thing we can be certain of, Hebrews 9, 27 says it's appointed, a time is appointed for a man to die, and after that comes judgment. And so we know for certain there will be a judgment. We do live in a just and moral universe where there is a God to whom all are accountable, and there will be judgment and justice. And so we know there is a judgment. And he is just saying here that the wicked will not stand in judgment. We know that we cannot stand on our own in judgment. We know that we're all wicked, that we're all sinners. We know that it's only in Christ and in God's grace that we could have a hope of standing in judgment. In fact, Romans 5:2 says, through him, Jesus, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so reading verse 5 again, it's like, therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And as Christians, we know in our minds, and neither will we, and that we are the wicked apart from faith in Christ. It's very important. But if your faith is in Christ, you still need to read this verse and understand the future of the wicked and the future of the righteous. It's interesting. You know, you would expect, after it says that the wicked will not stand, you would expect the contrast to be, but the righteous will stand. And though that would be a great, and that's an awesome, encouraging truth, that's not what it says. You say, really? That's what you just said, Matt. I know, it implies that. But what does it say? Let's look. What does it say? It focuses on something different. It says instead, in verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. You say, well, what is that talking about? I mean, the word knows here is the idea of intimate knowledge. It's not just knowing information. It's really knowing. It's a relationship. It's the same word as Genesis 4:1 when Adam knew Eve and they had children. It's a relationship. And so the idea here is our point. Two futures, walking with God or destruction. The way of the wicked, they will not stand in judgment. The path ultimately leads to destruction. The way of the Christian, the way of the righteous man, is known by the Lord, is a relationship with the Lord. I like the New Living Translation. It says for verse 6, the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. There's a show on TV called Running Wild with Bear Grylls. And basically, like, the premise of the show is he's this guy that, like, if he has like a Swiss Army knife and a bandana, he can like survive anything. You drop him anywhere. He can like climb a whole mountain with a bandana. It's just amazing, right? And he puts these celebrities with him. And the whole show is like this story of them kind of talking, getting to know each other, sort of facing their fears, climbing a mountain with a bandana, you know, making a fire with a Swiss Army knife and a leaf. It's just that kind of stuff. And think about that. If that show, if all they did was like the show starts and then they just go straight to the end and they show them they've crossed the finish line, they made it. It'd be like, okay, cool. But it doesn't. It shows the whole path, and it shows this expert, this strong leader, Bear Grylls, walking with them, knowing them. Most of the show is actually them building a relationship. And the point I'm making here is, I think similarly, it's like the wicked will not stand in judgment. And the righteous, the kind of person who meditates on the Word of God, who has a relationship with Christ, the righteous, of course, yes, we know they will stand in judgment at the end, but on the way there, they will be known by the Lord. Their path will be watched over by the Lord. And that's the incredibly encouraging good word of Psalm chapter 1. So we've seen two types of people, two influences, ungodly or God's word, two pictures, fruitful or weightless chaff, two futures, walking with God or destruction. And friends, I think it's important because I think Psalm 1 makes this important and challenges you this morning to choose. To choose who you want to be. To choose the type of person you want to be. And you say, I've already chosen. To recommit then. But to choose, to decide, to be decisive about in this next season, what type of person will you be? And I pray that it is this person who meditates on the word of the Lord, who knows the Lord, and who is this tree planted by the streams of water that bears fruit in season, that does not wither. It can be you and it can be me with God's help. Let's pray and ask for that help now.